All right, let me read verses 1 to 10. This is about a lad called Samuel. So he becomes quite famous, but he's just a little boy at this stage, and he is living in with the priests. The boy Samuel, glad we've got some lights. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, who was the high priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not that many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord said, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let me pray. Oh God, we want to learn to hear your voice. I cannot think of anything that might be more important than that. And God, I pray that this time might be useful for those of us who especially feel like that we're strangers to this. I pray that you might encourage us and speak to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read the Bible, I really notice that people who are the leaders and spiritual people, they hear God talk. People like Moses, Samuel we've just read, David, King David, I can keep going, Gideon, on and on it goes. People in the Bible, it seems, certainly the spiritual people, the leaders, seem to hear from God. God says something to them. And when I was growing up, I was surrounded by people who talk like that. So they read the Bible and they saw that God spoke to people and they thought, well, that's what happened. So they constantly talked about God speaking to them. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. So what that meant is in the service, so in a service like this, people would say, God wants us to know this. So people grab a microphone and just, the word was prophesy. So they'd say, "God wants us to know this." And then they'd start saying something. Or sometimes they'd come up to you and say, "God's given me a word for you." And it was some kind of word that was meant to give you a sense of direction or encouragement, etc. So I was surrounded by people like that, including my own family. They'd always talk about, so my parents would always talk about, "God spoke to me." I've got to admit, I had not a clue what they were talking about. Not a clue. I was like, what are they hearing? How is this happening? That God talks to them. Because I felt like I was trying hard to follow Jesus. I felt like I was listening, but I didn't know what I was listening for. So I had zip of an idea of what they meant. I don't think I'm uncommon in this. I think if I ran around the room now and asked people, "Hey, when you hear somebody said God spoke to me this or the Lord said this, do you have those experiences?" I reckon a good many people in this room would say, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what that means. The really interesting thing is I think people who go to church expect people like me to hear from God. Don't you reckon? You'd say, "Oh, well, if anyone hears from God. Let's hope it's the pastor, the leaders in our church. And if you go to some churches, certainly the leaders talk as if that's true. So they'll say, oh, God's given me a vision. This is what we're going to do as a church. And, you know, maybe it might be disconcerting for you to hear that. I admit I didn't have a clue. But we expect leaders in churches to hear from God. But probably if we went through the congregation, the people who come to church, most of them, many of them, would say, I don't really know what that means for people to hear from God. Now, I think this is pretty crucial. And here's why. The Christian faith is not one where we believe that God made the universe, wound it up, and then went off to a far different, distant universe to go and have a good time. That God is distant and disinterested. We don't believe that as Christians. We don't believe that God is uninvolved. We firmly believe that God is deeply involved in the world. And we believe that mostly because of Jesus. That God's involvement is best seen in Jesus, and that God was so concerned about the plight of people, he sends his only son into the world to rescue us all. But Jesus also teaches us that God is interested in us. He uses some analogies like, he says, see those birds in the air? Well, God cares about them. He even more cares about you, your concerns, your worries. So you should be confident in bringing those to God. So it seems that Jesus believed that God was really involved in the world and very interested in you. And then when we look at God in through Jesus, we go, wow, God is really interested in me and rescuing me. And so the Christian belief is God is not disinterested, God is not distant, God is personal and involved, and he wants you to know him, and he wants him to know you. In other words, everybody who's a Christian ought to have a personal relationship with God. That's what we believe. So if you kind of walk this out, how does a personal relationship work if you've got this, let's say for instance, back in the day, my girlfriend at the time lived 1,500 kilometres away from where I lived, in a town called West Wyalong. How would it work if I sent to that girlfriend of mine an essay I wrote in Year 8 and said, if you read this essay, everything in that essay is all you need to know about me? Because in a way, the Bible's a bit like that. It's a book written through history of people's experiences and understanding of who God is. God speaks to them. And through that, God speaks to us, no question. But I don't think when we say we have a personal relationship with God, we only mean I read that book and therefore I have a personal relationship with God. I think we think that there's a conversation going on. There's a sense of connection and communion with God. That's what I think we mean. Because we know we mean that with the people we love. I don't say to Anne, rely on those letters I wrote to you back 23 years ago to get a hint of why the way I feel with about you today. I should talk to her today. And prayer, when you pray, what's clear is you are talking to God. You talk to God. So would you not expect that on the other side of this, that God might talk back to you? That's what comes out of this thinking that a Christian goes, we have a personal relationship with God. In other words, we feel like there should be some kind of conversation going on, that God is talking to us. Now, it's not just me that says that. Because I see this in the passage we read just then. Here's a little boy called Samuel. He's not looking to talk to God at all. He's just sleeping and minding his own business. And did you hear the way that that Bible passage opened? It said that the word of the law was rare in those times. In other words, they were living in times where it didn't feel like God was talking to them. God, for some reason, had gone silent. And maybe we're living similar times ourselves, where we feel like we're trying to do all this stuff called following Jesus, but the word of the Lord, it seems, is rare. I think in Baptist churches, we might say that ourselves. How does God speak to us? Well, what we know is it's not because God didn't have anything to say. The word of the Lord was rare, not because God was silent, but actually because people weren't great at listening. And a little boy called Samuel had to start the nation back on the track of listening to God. And the way it works is Samuel is sleeping in his bed in the temple, minding his own business, and God calls out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel doesn't know who this is. So he thinks in his head, obviously the only other person in this place is Eli, so I'll go see there must be Eli. So he goes down the corridor and sees Eli and says, "You know, what do you want?" And Eli says, "I don't want you, I didn't call you, go back to bed." Two times that happened, is that right? Did you count two times? Third time, Eli's onto it. Must be God talking. So what he says to Samuel is, he says, "Next time you hear this, Samuel, Samuel, I want you to say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And that takes Samuel from a place where he doesn't know what God's voice sounds like to a place where he does know what God's voice sounds like. He listens to God, and because he listens to God, he has authority, he has leadership, and he leads a nation back to God. And what I want to say to us is, when we learn to hear God's voice, so what we are expecting is that we will hear God's voice, we just don't know how, but when we learn to hear God's voice, it gives you much more confidence in life and hopefully leads you to influence others for good. Certainly that happened with Samuel. But when I tell you this story about a person who somehow hears a voice from somewhere, whether it was in his head or his heart or whether it was out loud, but he hears a voice, it kind of gets me a little concerned. Does it get you concerned? Somebody said once, when we talk to God, people call that praying. When we say that God is talking to us, people call that crazy. Right? Now, just back up a bit. I did grow up in a Pentecostal church, and I heard a lot of people say this is what God said. And I've got to admit, a number of times I listened and went, "That just sounds like craziness." Not the guy that, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I can really remember it, because I was worship leading one morning and some guy got up and said, "God told me to bring marijuana from Tasmania to Adelaide, and it's been awesome because I've sold it all and made a heck of a lot of money. Praise God." Yeah. And I was like, so I'm worship leading. And he just popped out of nowhere and grabbed the microphone. I'm like, "Fella, I don't think it's God. I think it's just you breaking the law." But he was frankly quite convinced that God was onto something. And he'd given him some news. Another time, this wasn't a Pentecostal church, so I'm not even picking on Pentecostals. You get more stories from churches like that, let's be honest. Another time I was in a prayer meeting in a church I was visiting, and there were some issues in the church. And as the prayer meeting was progressing, some people in the prayer meeting said, "God has told us that there are demons behind the cross in this church." So because it's got a cross in the church, you know straight away it's not a Baptist church. But this church had a big cross at the front, and they said, "The reason why we've got so many problems in our church, God says, is because there's demons behind that cross." I'm like, crazy people? The reason why you got problems in the church is because of you. But I was visiting, so I didn't say that out loud. But you know what I mean? I get nervous when I hear people say, "God said this to me," or if I was Eli and Samuel came down the corridor and said, "You know, this has happened to me," I'd be like, "Was that bad chicken curry this tonight, Samuel?" So how do we figure out the difference between bad chicken curry and God talking to us. The difference between being crazy and actually God's speaking. How do we figure that out? That's what we're going to do over the next 3 PM services. Tonight, I'm just going to start up with some guidelines that I heard from a guy called Dallas Willard, and I thought would be very helpful to get us started. And the first guideline is half ripped. I'm pretty sure I remember it. And that, he says, the first thing, if you want to hear God's voice, the first thing you need to do is love God with all your heart, with all your being. That's what you need to do. Is the aim of hearing God's voice is not so that I am more confident about the future. Because that's one of the reasons why we'd want to hear God's voice, isn't it? I don't know what job I'm going to do. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know if I should buy that house. So God, please talk to me. Tell me whether this is a good decision, because then I'll feel much more confident because you've confirmed it. So sometimes we want God to speak because it's about having a good future, and we'd love God to help us with those choices. But Dallas Willard is saying that that's not why we want to hear God's voice. We don't want to hear God's voice because we need to make stronger choices. We want to hear God's voice because we want to be in relationship with God. Want to talk with God. Want to know that God knows us and that we know him. We're in a real relationship with God. And so when we come to God and we love God with all that we are, then that does something to us. It opens us up in a different kind of way. If I rewind again, when I'm a little boy, when I'm a young lad, probably about 15, 16 years of age, and I looked around and I heard all these people saying, I hear God say this, I hear God say that. And sometimes those people would say things that they could never have known. So, for instance, a few years later, on a camp that I think Tim was on, mid-year conference with Barry Manuel. You on that camp? Right, so I'm on the camp with Tim, where we were very handsome young men. And the speaker at the front says, God's told me that there is someone in the room who has had asthma all their life, and they're male, and they are, at this time, it was 25, they are 25. And I was looking around the room, I was like, there's only two males who are 25, and I'm one of them, and I've had asthma all my life. So I was not that keen on being prayed for. I don't know if you even remember this moment. I hate being prayed for. I'd much pray for other people. Anyway, I said, oh, well. So he calls me out and he prays for me, and I stopped having asthma. I don't know why. I wasn't whinging about having asthma. I don't know why God wanted to kind of stop me having asthma. So when I saw things like that happen, when leaders were doing that, I was like, oh, man, wouldn't it be awesome to have that skill, that insight into people's lives? But that's not why you should want to hear God's voice. It's a terrible reason. You should want to hear God's voice because you want to know God more. You know why the word of the Lord was rare in Samuel's time? Because that was not true. It was not true. Israel, including the priests, did not want to know God more. They're doing their job, they're doing all their worship, but their hearts were far from God, and it's very hard to hear God when your heart is far from him. So if you want to hear God's voice, the first thing is love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then that will open you up to more. Second thing that Dallas Willard says is that normal people can talk with God. And sometimes we think only super spiritual people can talk with God. those pastors or those really important people in the Bible. Ever looked at those really important people in the Bible? Have you noticed how untidy their lives often are? Out of all the people in the Bible, all the famous ones that you might know, there are only two people that have no bad gear against their name. One's called Joseph and the other one's called Daniel. Everyone else has some black marks, and sometimes quite serious black marks. So one of the most famous leaders in the Bible is called David. Now, the black mark against his name is having sex with one of his soldier's wives, killing the said soldier to cover up the fact that she got pregnant. That's a pretty bad black mark. And it seems God spoke to him. So first thing I'd say is, don't think that only super Christians get to hear from God. Actually, normal people get to hear from God. And it's not just because the history says that. It's also because God says that in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, God, this is what God promises. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God, that God's spirit will be in us and move us, nudge us, speak to us. Jeremiah 31. No longer will they teach their neighbours, know the Lord, because they will all know them, from the least of them to the greatest. That we don't need someone outside us to say, you know, this is what you've got to know about God, but God himself will teach us on the inside. Isaiah 30. When you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. On and on you could go. The promises of the scriptures is that normal Christians hear God speak to them. Maybe helping you make good choices, maybe encouraging you, but being normal doesn't prevent you from knowing God's voice. Third thing that is a good guideline is hearing God doesn't make us right. Just because you hear God does not mean that you're right now. Does not mean you actually even understand what God is saying. Doesn't. So a number of years ago, when I was a younger man, I had people coming say to me, God has called you to be a pastor. And what I knew is they always meant a pastor in my church. And much to their shock of everyone that I knew, I'm a pastor in a Baptist church. They didn't know what direction I had. They were pretty right in that God had some idea about me being a pastor. But their ideas were for a specific church, and I ended up in a different place to what they thought. So that's important to remember, is that when God speaks to us, it doesn't mean we actually understand it. We know what he's talking about. Whenever people say to you, God told me this, or the Lord led me there, what they often mean is they're saying, I'm right and you should follow me. That's what they mean. I know what God said and you should follow me. And I think what we ought to do if we hear from God is have a big fat dose of humility. Big fat dose of humility. We ought to test it. Because we may have heard God correctly, but we don't understand him. So, for instance, go back into the Old Testament, full of prophecies, where God says, I'm going to raise up a person to rescue Israel. What did all those people think God meant when they read those prophecies? They thought he meant a conqueror, someone who was bigger and stronger than the Caesar. And it turns out that what God meant was that he would come into the world as a baby, walk this planet, teach us great words, die a vicious death at the hands of his creation, rise to life again on the third day, ascend to the Father, then work through people like you and me, ordinary people in the world, to transform the world so that it would become the place that God has always set it on course to be. Do you think they knew any of that? Nah. They couldn't have even guessed in their wildest dreams the person of Jesus and what God would do. Not at all. But they were absolutely accurate in what they said. Their words were right, they just misunderstood the meaning. And this is what happens with us when we confuse that God can speak to us, God can actually speak through people, but they may not be right. So we ought to be humble. So there's three things. First thing, the reason why we want to hear from God is that we would be more in love with Him. Second thing, normal people can hear from God, not super Christians. And the last thing is, even if you hear from God, it doesn't make you right. So be humble. So if you want to go on this journey of hearing from God, those are the great places to start. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, is what opened up Samuel to hearing from God. And then when he heard from God, that's when he started growing up to be a godly man. And because he heard from God, he picked the next king that ruled the nation of Israel. He led his nation into a much better place with God. Right, so that's the difference that happened when Samuel heard from God. What might happen if you went home tonight and you said to God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening"? What might happen in your life if you started hearing from God? Many years ago, when I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to go from engineering into Christian ministry. So I'm working as an engineer and I get a phone call from a guy at university who says, "I'd like you to come and work with me as an evangelist at university, Flinders University." So I'm wrestling. What do I do? Do I keep on the engineering path? Do I go on this evangelist pass? By the way, the guy said to me, "We have no money, so you won't be paid." Which one should I do? Seems like a really stupid, easy decision, doesn't it? Just do engineering. They pay a lot better. But I'm wrestling, asking God, hoping God will speak to me. And I go to this meeting, a night meeting at a church. And because I'm asking lots of questions, I go down the front and I get prayed for. And don't judge me on this, but I just get knocked down to the floor. Completely, I don't know, I just lost all strength in my body. And was like that for, I don't know, I'm guessing an hour. Hard to remember. But what happened in that time is I suddenly kind of clicked to this powerful sense that God was speaking to me. And the thing that struck me is I thought, this is the most familiar voice I've ever heard in my life. This sense of God speaking. Well, that voice I felt like I'd heard from as young as I could remember. Could it be that God is always talking to you? Whispering, nudging, urging, prompting. And sometimes you might have confused it with your voice. But when you come awake to what God might be saying into your life, it turns out it might be the most familiar voice you've ever heard. Just like with Eli. He goes down the corridor to the familiar voice in his life. Samuel goes down the corridor. I don't know. But what I do know is if you open up yourself, just like Samuel did and said, "Speak, for your servant is listening," it will open you to new things. And God will start speaking in a way that draws you closer to Him. And I don't know about you, but that's the relationship I want with God. So I am super keen over the next 6 weeks to go on this journey. I hope you are too. Let me pray. God, I do ask, I want to pray this. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each word from you, and like him to answer to your call and to obey you first of all. So speak, Lord, to us. Over this next week, start to teach us that you are speaking, and that maybe we need to tune our soul to your voice. But you are speaking. You're bringing us into more than just hearing about you. That your Spirit is present in us to teach us, to lead us, to encourage us, to speak to us. And I would pray that everyone here might know you in that way. And this I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.